Jerry Bader Show, 10:07 Journey. Jason's classic cut. This could be an interesting 15 minutes because I have the hiccups from eating too fast. Well, I'm trying. I never thought I would ever say this in my whole life. I'm trying to keep my weight on. And by the way, I will say publicly, I took Jason to lunch yesterday. It was the final day of restaurant week here in Green Bay, right? Yeah. Was it today? He's like, hey, shut up a minute. It's today. Was it today? Sorry. Oh, yeah, it's Thursday. It's Thursday today. Yeah, today. Today's the final day. Yeah. And we had a great lunch, by the way, at one of the participating restaurants. It was really good. I have lost, let me see, 5 pounds since I've tried to stop losing weight. So I thought I'd bulk up. I ate a big lunch, and I still lost 0.5 pound. So I went and ate a burger during the break there, and I decided that was a little faster than I should try to consume a burger. I think they're gone now. I had the hiccups. I'm like, how am I going to do this? Before the news, we were discussing that quietly, the federal government has been approaching facilities in Madison and Milwaukee to house these undocumented children, abandoned children, to Milwaukee and Madison to house them. And in other communities, citizens have stood up and said, no, they're not coming here. Of course, they're painted as void of compassion, evil, hate immigrants, hate minorities, hate children, and on and on. A friend IM'd me. Yeah, we are supposed to care for these kids more than their parents. I don't think you can undersell the fact that these kids are abandoned. Now, I understand why the parents are doing it. And it's not abandonment in those who don't love their children, in most cases, I'm sure. It's a matter of these parents wanting a better life for their kids, that they're willing to leave their children at the border. I understand that. It's still misguided. It's still, in my opinion, wrong. I know they think their kids, well, they've been led to believe by the American government that their kids have a better chance without them than with them. I don't think it's true. Now, you know, and here's another thing. Why do you think they're picking Madison and Milwaukee? I don't know what other cities around the country they're picking. Ron Johnson didn't even know about this until he was informed of it by the conservative media. Why do you think they're picking Milwaukee and Madison? Why do you think that is? As far as we know, now I don't know. As far as we know, they're not picking Wausau, Green Bay, Appleton, and so on. As far as we know, Sheboygan, as far as we know. Well, you would know why they would pick Madison. They don't expect anyone to stand in front of the buses there. They wouldn't expect blowback in those two very liberal communities. That would be my guess. I don't know that, but that would be my guess. And I think it's a pretty good guess. I have to mention this briefly. I have made fun of this. The national talk shows have made fun of this. Everyone has made fun of this. Bill. What? What are you looking for? You want to know? Well, shut up and let me do it. Oh, because you need to write the topic down. What? You would have to speak. Yeah, I can hear you. So anyway, I am referring to the bill that the Senate Democrats tried to pass to counter the Hobby Lobby decision. Senate Republicans on Wednesday blocked Democrats' effort to undermine the Supreme Court's Hobby Lobby decision, ending a round of partisan jousting aimed at capturing women's votes in the fall. A bill from Senate Democrats designed to restore employers' responsibility to provide contraception coverage under the Affordable Care Act was defeated 56-43 in a procedural vote. It sought to prevent companies from using a religious freedom law to avoid complying with a requirement to cover all forms of contraception approved by the government without charging workers a copayment. The vote to advance the legislation received the support of three Republicans: Senators Mark Kirk, Illinois, Lisa Murkowski, Alaska, Susan Collins, Maine, and nearly the entire Democratic caucus, but fell short of the 60 votes needed. Harry Reid, who voted against the bill so he can revive it later, said the Senate would vote again on the issue before year's end. They believe they have found a cudgel with which to bludgeon Republicans in this war on women stuff. Now, here's what everybody's laughing at about this. Democrats refer to the bill as the Not My Boss's Business Act, saying your contraception, your reproductive health is not your boss's business. The irony is so laughable in that bill's name, they don't even see it. It's not my boss's business, but he should pay for it. But it's not his business. How can you be forced to pay for something that isn't your business? Once you're forced to pay for it, guess what? It's your business! If you don't want it to be your boss's business, pay for it yourself. How about that? And again, it's not all contraception. Democrats know how they are distorting this. They think they've got something. I actually don't think this is going to be nearly as effective as they do. Women were the wild card in 2012. Single younger women now are the wild card. And they think they can capture them. And well, in fact, they largely have them. This is about energizing. This is about getting them to the polls. I don't think this is going to work. And they just look like absolute idiots calling this Not My Boss's Business Act. It's so much not his business, he should have nothing to do with this decision, that he should pay for the whole thing. And yet they can't even see how stupid that sounds. All right, I want to set something up. Jason, get the New Jersey TV coverage, whichever one that is. I want to set something up, and then I want to get your thoughts in a few minutes here, as soon as I can find the story that goes with it. It's a TV reporter who was suspended, pay docked, but then he ultimately quit his job. His name is Sean Bergen. Sean Hannity had him on for a long time yesterday. He was suspended and got his pay docked and then quit. He was doing a story about a cop killer, and they gave the cop killer's wife airtime where she said she wishes more cops would be killed. Okay. Then the police community and other viewers sent angry comments his way for the station's decision to give airtime to the wife of a cop killer. Well, he didn't do it to be sympathetic to her. He explains in a follow-up on air why he did that. Then, after he said what you're about to hear, the TV station in New Jersey suspended him, docked pay, and then he quit. They're not saying exactly what happened, but they're saying reporters aren't allowed to editorialize. In their mind, he editorialized in a what is supposed to be straight reporting of a news story, that he openly editorialized, and that's why they took the action they did, and he ultimately quit. If you missed it, Here's what he said.
Now, it's worth noting that we were besieged, flooded with calls from police officers furious that we would give media coverage to the wife of a cop killer. It's understandable. We decided to air it because it's important to shine a light on this anti-cop mentality that has so contaminated America's inner cities. This same sick, perverse line of thinking is evident from Jersey City to Newark and Patterson to Trenton. It has made the police officer's job impossible, and it has got to stop. The underlying cause for all of this, of course, young black men growing up without fathers. Unfortunately, no one in the news media has the courage to touch that subject. Rick?
Well, he did, and he paid the price. The station says it has a policy against their reporters editorializing. Did he editorialize? And as a reporter, whether you agree or disagree with what he said, do you agree with a reporter saying what he said? Now, you understand the distinction, right? I agree with every word he said. Do you agree with someone who's supposed to be a factual reporter saying it? 406-1360, 888-455-1360, it's 1019.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.